Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
As God, as my witness, he is broken in half. Jeff, been waiting a long time to cover this one, my friend.
Yeah, happy anniversary, you know.
As you are well aware, I was there. Mm-hmm. I was eye level with the top of the Hell in a Cell on the side that the Undertaker so viciously, so carelessly, so callously tossed Mick Foley from the top. But first, before we get into the match, the build, the aftermath of arguably the most famous match in the history of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
This is, you know, we're 1 week closer to 100. We are, you know, just when I realized we hadn't talked about this match, because it's one of those where I was like, how did we not? Like, I just feel like it's one of those ones that is like just in the pantheon of wrestling matches, like to have not covered this one. I was just kind of like, oh shit. Okay. Like, and it had to be covered. And so, with that, you know, that's why I want to cover this match, but like, you know, I'm doing good, you know, in the heart of summer, like enjoying the weather, all that good stuff. Like, you know, we got it just it's more always good wrestling and stuff happening. I'm going to a baseball game tomorrow, you know? So, you know, good things happening on my end.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, let's I mean, do we even need to talk about why we're covering this? We're covering it because it's just like the most famous match ever. It's the most talked about, the most iconic, if not one of them, the most. It's incredible, man. This is gonna be fun to watch the entire match start to finish. You know, obviously the clips and the highlights are ingrained in our mind, but I'm kind of excited to watch the entire thing.
Yeah, and this is one where, for better or worse, you'll be interested to hear some of the write-ups on this one.
Yeah, because that's what'll be fun is, like, you know, 24 hours after this match, what were people saying?
Right.
We know what they say now. We know all the folklore, but I'm really curious. I can't wait for you to read the write-ups of what was said right after this match. It's going to be really fun to read.
Yeah, and that's a good part of this. I think I have not revisited this in a long time, and so I'm ready to do that, especially on we're on the anniversary. So, you know, this was, you know, when it took place and the day just kind of working out perfect with 1998. It's not, you know, a round number, but it doesn't need to be, because this is one where, you know, and there's, you know, we'll try and break it down a little bit different because there's more than enough information out there about this one, but it's one that we have to talk about because we haven't.
So to me, like, Mick Foley's probably one of like the most grungiest, hairiest wrestlers ever.
Yeah.
So if he had to clean himself up and shave his chest and maybe below the waist, get a little bit more organized, what would he do?
I don't know. Like, you know, even with the different personas we had and just, you know, the history that he had in wrestling, I don't even know.
I thought you were going to read a Manscaped ad.
Oh, is that was the setup there? Sorry about that.
I thought I teed you up pretty good for that.
You didn't. I'm so focused on watching this match right now. Like, I've got like multiple tabs open of things to talk about. Like, I'm looking at all this different stuff. If he had to, like, yes, you know, if you have that lumberjack look, yeah, you know, in your flannel, maybe you just want to, you know, still be that manly man, but maybe just clean it up a little bit. I believe that it's 20%. 10% off at manscaped.com, free shipping as well, using the code payoff. We can help you out.
Yeah. And the 4.0's out, which has wireless charging, a better light, better rate, better everything, really. It's a hell of a product. So check out the razors, ear and nose trimmers, really good. Weed whack the body. I mean, yeah, there's some good stuff there. So we use it. We love it. Use payoff, 20% off, get free shipping, whether it's for a father, a brother, a significant other, whoever it might be in your life, get it for them. So you ready to get into this one?
Obviously.
Oh my goodness. This is going to be a good one, dude. I'm excited. So let's jump right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
I remember it like it was yesterday, man. Civic Arena, downtown Pittsburgh, June 28th, 1998, 17,000 in attendance, 385 buy rate pay-per-view viewers. Dude, oh, what a card. And not just this match, but man, wait, do you hear me go through everything that happened on this show, right? We had a little bit of everything. So
before you get into you were there. The Civic Arena, it was your arena like growing up. How was the venue for just a wrestling show?
It's a complete shithole. So yeah, there's a new arena now. Okay. So this arena was built in the 70s. Now, the crazy thing about the Civic Arena is you won't believe this, but it was built, I think, late 60s, maybe early 70s, but I think late 60s. It has a retractable roof. They never opened the damn thing, but I remember SummerSlam 1995. The rumor was they're going to open the roof, and they didn't. Okay. So they never actually opened this thing. I thought they were going to. So I get there and I was very disappointed, but it was just a crazy building. But, just kind of your dumpy old arena, not great sight lines or anything else, but it had a certain charm to it, as did Three Rivers, where the Pirates and Steelers played. So yeah, 12 minutes from my house. I mean, quick little trip, dude. Went to almost every house show, every pay-per-view. It was awesome. So we had, SummerSlam 95, and then we get this.
I'm looking at the pictures of the roof here. This is the most fucked up design I've ever seen in my life. Crazy.
That thing didn't open all the way, obviously, but it opened to like 80%. It took like, 8 days to open the thing up. It was like a guy up there cranking it open. So, it's wild. So there's actually some cool pictures of it open too. So yeah. So our seats for this one, I don't know if you ever remember, I mean, I guess they still have them, but there were these like little sections where you kind of had like not a private suite, but you had like a private little area where there'd be like a monitor and there'd be like four or six seats. Mm-hmm. We had one of those. Okay. So we get there and we're like, this was just random. It's just the tickets we bought at Ticketmaster. We're like, holy shit, this is cool. Oh, these are really good seats. We're kind of like right looking at the ring. We're just a little left of center, and left of center was in alignment with the announcer tables. And then we're eye length of that. So one of the coolest views you could have for him getting thrown off the cage, we're on that side, we're eye level, we're right across from where the announcers were. Jeff, I still have it like in my head. Like mm-hmm. I still remember watching it. It was just unbelievable. And I'll talk more about it during the match, but so this show, man, this is kind of like Attitude Era, ton of stuff happening. You got the Headbangers and Taka Michinoku defeating Kai and Tai, 6-man tag. Then you've got a King of the Ring semi. So they didn't have the quarters, just the semifinals there. Shamrock defeats Jeff Jarrett, 5 minutes ankle lock. And then The Rock defeats Dan Severin. So ironically, we were kind of hoping for like Shamrock Severin, thought that would be a cool final, but Shamrock and The Rock, and The Rock won in 4 minutes as well. Too Much, which is Brian Christopher and Scott Taylor, defeat Al Snow and Head, with Jerry Lawler as special guest referee. Okay. X-Pac defeats Owen Hart in an 8-minute singles match. Then your tag team champions, the New Age Outlaws, defeat the New Midnight Express of Bodacious Bart and Bombastic Bob. Huh. Okay. So the last three matches were pretty interesting. Ken Shamrock defeats The Rock by submission, if you can believe that. 14 minutes. He's your king of the ring. You know, Shamrock was red hot at this point. Then your semi-main event, Undertaker and Mankind, Hell in a Cell match. And then the final match, First Blood match, Kane beats Steve Austin for the title. So just think of the last hour of this show, Jeff. The Undertaker Mankind stuff. Then Kane defeats Steve Austin for the title. Just insane, man. No good star ratings on this show. In fact, the only thing, there were two matches that got 3.25 stars, which was Shamrock Rock and then Kane Austin. And then, of course, the one we're going to cover, which I won't give away the star rating, but pretty well received. So there's a ton of history with these guys. That's the other interesting thing, too, is that there's a ton of history before this and even a little bit afterwards. But Jeff, give us some of the highlights of how we put these two in a Hell in a Cell years after their feud started.
Yeah. And I'll say, too, I'll start by saying, I don't think I realized this wasn't the main event. Like, I can't imagine having to follow this one. But
well, and that's what was so crazy is that the place was silent. Nobody even, everyone was still in shock.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to cover that one because I know we've got some other First Bloods actually coming up soon here. But yeah, that's one that we'll have to discuss. So, yeah, so this one. So, of course, this King of the Ring, 1998, June. We have to go a little bit back to the Royal Rumble just a couple months prior to this. He had actually Foley was all three of his personas. He was Cactus Jack, who entered at number one. Mankind, who was number 16. And Dude Love, who was number 28. And so it kind of, you know, playing up all the personas there, but then you get into WrestleMania, you had him actually Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack actually beating the New Age Outlaws. It was a dumpster match to win the tag team titles. The rumor, the kind of write up I saw here was, it was actually supposed to be a barbed wire rope match. Just a barbed wire, you know, kind of, the ropes were going to be that way. But because Mike Tyson was on the show, they decided not to, or in part of the main event, they decided not to have such a kind of bloody, really deathmatch style of match on this show. So even though you got Cactus and Charlie as the champs the next night, Vince stripping them of the belt, saying that because with the dumpster match, and this is, you know, playing by the rules here, I get it. The dumpster they used was not the original dumpster that was at ringside and supposed to be used. And so it makes sense to me. Like, you know, they decided to strip them of the belts because, hey, you got to use the right dumpster. Like that, I feel like that's wrestling school 101. Like, if you're going to have a dumpster match, know which dumpster you're supposed to use. Like, just come on, like, just plain and simple here. So but doing that, so they actually had a steel cage match, which the Outlaws won. This was them also, like, kind of working with the new allies, Degeneration X, a match that we have covered previously on the show. Make sure, you know, go back in the archives, kind of check that one out, because we did talk about that one. So but then you had Foley actually turning heel, pretty much that, you know, the angle that they were playing here, it was kind of April, you know, to 2 months before all this happened, was that the fans didn't appreciate him. They only wanted Stone Cold Steve Austin. The story, according to, Terry Funk, actually, was that they were having a match. The fans started leaving, and Howard Finkel, the Fink, said that Austin was going to be, you know, making an appearance. So the crowd came back, and, you know, it kind of, Foley saying it hurt his, it hurt his feelings, and, you know, he was a hard worker, and that he was just, you know, going to be another face that had to, you know, face just another wrestler, not face, but, like, another wrestler that had to eventually face Stone Cold, and he was just going to get run through, and just that's how it was. So, So McMahon, though, kind of explaining Austin the next week, he was going to face a quote mystery partner at Unforgiven. After kind of all that happened, it ended up being Dude Love, who actually won the match by DQ, but Austin retained the title. So it got May 1998 of this year, Over the Edge, actually, taking on Austin at this point. You had Gerald Briscoe, Pat Patterson at ringside as well, too. But then you also had the Undertaker come to ringside to ensure that McMahon, that the match was called fairly, And that, you know, he still ended up losing the match and then getting fired. So Undertaker with all this, like, and like you said, this is 1998. And so at this point, like, after he, well, for starters, after he lost this match and got fired, this is when he went back to his Mankind character and then also started feuding with the Undertaker again. So, but this was post, like, this was the Boiler Room Brawl, was 2 years prior to this. You had the Mankind and Paul Bearer teaming together as manager. This was in the past as well, too. They were part of the first Buried Alive match. Like, you had that as well, too. They had a Survivor Series match. This was, of course, the Paul Bearer in a cage match. And so these guys had a very long feud, like the constant stuff. It's almost funny to think, like, you know, 2 years, 3 years prior to all this, and then this is when we get this match. And so the Undertaker at this point, though, had been involved. This was the Kane storyline. And so, you know, dealing with what Kane, you know, what was going on with Kane, you know, Paul Bearer kind of, you know, not revealed Kane, like that kind of, you know, building up the story with all of that, kind of dealing with all of that. We all know that storyline. We've talked about it before. But leading up to, of course, the, Undertaker as well at this point, the Michaels match for the first Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood, which we've talked about on this one, with Kane making his debut. And so Undertaker had been feuding with Michaels at this point. And Mankind was kind of, you know, just kind of going through it. He had some stuff with Austin, but then the two of these guys and how their paths kind of crossed was, it's just, you know, it reigniting a feud that they had had for a long time. And so it wasn't a ton of time to build to it either. But you actually had as well too, like, Undertaker after the kind of Hell in a Cell match, and it was actually Royal Rumble, Undertaker coming back and beating Kane at WrestleMania 19 of that year. There was an Inferno match as well too. And so Undertaker had been feuding with Kane. You had Mankind just kind of, you know, doing his own thing, but then these guys kind of reigniting the feud. And so don't really need to say much else. And so, you know, just kind of in their own storylines. And then we get this match because they had had a feud before. So, you know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. What a long storied history between these two first ballot Hall of Famers. So let's not wait anymore, man. Are you ready?
I've got finger on the play button. Let's do this.
Okay. So
I always enjoy asking, what season are we in, Tom?
This is season 6, episode 1 of King of the Ring.
All right.
King of the Ring 1998, 1 hour, 51 minute mark. 1 hour, 51 minute mark. Mankind on the cage, Undertaker coming out, lights off. This is going to be a fun one, Jeff. You ready?
Call down. Let's do it.
All right, it's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
So we got the house lights are dimmed. So where were you? Like, we're about to see the hard cam here. Where are you in relation to the hard cam? Explain us.
I'll show you once the hard cam comes up. So,
all right, got it.
If it ever comes up.
Yeah. Undertaker taking off the cloak, Mankind just at the top of the cage at this point.
I mean, you know, what I thought about, like, when Taker goes up the cage right here, like, I mean, it'd be scary for anyone, but it's a big ass dude to be climbing up a cage.
Well, and I believe this was pre,
there's no holes.
Pre-cut holes. None of that for them. Like, you are climbing a chain link fence at this
point. And a guy just punched you too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the top of the cage. Like, right.
God.
I am curious. Has the bell rung? I don't know. I don't know either, but we're getting into this. So these guys just kind of fighting.
Okay. So you see where it says, like, one East Igloo two?
Yes.
Okay. I'm in one of those, but off to the right.
Oh, I see. Oh, and I see how the setup is. Okay. Got it. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So you can see. So I'm in one of those, but I'm on. Well, yeah. So I'm off to the right. And whenever you're on the hard, if you're looking at the hard cam shot,
they'll show it eventually. Here, yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'll point out to you. Yeah. I'm just eye level with those guys in those yellow signs. Just a little bit over to the right.
Got it. Okay.
I was actually looking for myself recently. Like, I don't know what A&E documentary I was watching, but one of them. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they're, look, that's crazy. Like, that cage almost gave.
All right, so we already have the cage
enforced.
And so we've already have the cage.
I say like, give,
but it's one crazy. Step.
Yeah, yep. But it's crazy that you can tell it's just held by zip ties. I mean, yeah, like they're almost falling through the cage right there.
And Foley has said that's one of the things that like he and I forget if he remembered, but like you'll see it or like why.
Maybe.
We're getting right into it. Here we go. And just tossing him right off the cage onto the Spanish announce table. Can't even see Foley's body. He's half got just right into it. And Taker looking down on him. Just the iconic shot. Yep. Broken in half.
Unbelievable. I forgot how early it happened.
I did too. I know we were here talking about the fucking zip ties and then it happens. Yeah. But that fully like the pinging of the zip ties breaking later in the match here. That was one of the things he remembers hearing, even though he's totally blacked out at this point. So at this point, the match should be, I mean, it's over.
Like you assumed it was
like, oh, and here's the replay. God,
you know, and the thing too, is that it's the best way he could have possibly landed. Right.
Yeah. And we've talked about these things before. Yep.
You could have gone left. You could have gone right. You could have landed on your neck. You could have, I mean, hell, Austin broke his back when Booker T, you know, just dropped him off the side.
Well, and this is one too, his well-being was in the Undertaker's hands there. Like the Undertaker was the one that tossed him. And so, yeah, he throws him a little bit too hard or something like that. Like he's going to, you know, break his body over the guardrail. Like it's gotta be perfect. And so I believe dislocated shoulder, you can see him kind of already dealing with that. You've got every official now, like, you know, there's no match at this point. We had maybe 2 minutes of punching. Undertaker still on the top of the cage, just kind of looking around, selling, of course, as he should be. Talking to Foley.
Mask is off.
Yeah, they've pulled the Mankind mask off. You could tell, as my brother and I like to say when we watch certain sporting events, like the lights are on, but nobody's home. Like, you know, you can see he's looking around, but there's nobody home right now. Until he kind of starts to snap out of it. You've got Chainsaw Charlie, you know, Terry Funk, like just kind of checking on him at ringside. They keep showing it now. This was pre the air pad underneath.
Yeah.
It's how he bounces for me. Yeah. Like the other thing too, is like he missed that TV monitor. Like, is there's a TV monitor on the close side of the table that he doesn't hit, which again, like if he had landed on the TV monitor, that would have just broke his back too. So you got Sergeant Slaughter out at ringside. Oh,
Vince
now.
Is out too.
You got Vince out there that. As well too. Yep. I forgot Vince. You've got pretty much every official possible. They're trying to move the table. They keep showing the spot here. Watch. That's the bounce. His
hips hit really hard too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He missed two TVs kind of looking at it again. Yep.
It's hard to believe that this wasn't the end of it, right?
So this was, and we can talk about it. Doesn't matter. So they spent a lot of time on the dark side of the pod with Brian. And so they're starting to lift the cage now as well too. The death matches and kind of what they were doing with that. And they were talking about what is the line?
Yeah.
And so Conrad, I feel like really went off on this one in a good way of just like talking about like, okay, like blade jobs have been going on forever. So we shouldn't be surprised with Nick Gage. You know, what is the difference between wrestlers using a razor to cut themselves and Nick Gage taking a pizza cutter to your forehead? You know, and I feel like they landed on, it was light tubes. Like light tubes are the thing that you add those to the equation and that's too much. And so Vince looking concerned, everybody looking concerned, kind of seeing what's going on and what's happening. But yeah, like was this, and we could talk about a little bit in the aftermath as well. Like, was this too much?
Man. Yeah. Well, you know, I was just thinking this was pre Owen Hart. So yeah. I got to think that this would not have happened after Owen Hart. I could be completely wrong, but I think they were a lot safer after that. I don't think it would have happened. Look, nobody forced Mick Foley to do it. No one said, "Hey, I'll give you $1 million if you fall off the cage." I mean, this was his decision.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know you talk about his injuries that he still has to this day.
Yep.
But he chose to do this, number one. Number two, don't feel too sorry for him. He's made a few bucks off of this. Okay. He was a bigger star because of this. He made money because of this. He's able to do stand-up shows all over the world because of this. So he's monetized this. Would he do it again? Of course he would do it again. Ideally, he wouldn't have any of the injuries from it, but his injuries aren't from this match. They're from hundreds of matches that were very, very brutal. He took bumps worse than this night.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did death matches. Yeah. And so you got set the stage again, just a reminder, like Foley was being stretchered out. He's back on his feet at this point. The cage is halfway up the arena. Undertaker was climbing down. Foley, though, doesn't matter. He's climbing the cage. Like to go back up after they lowered it again. Undertaker's on one side, Mankind's climbing up the other side. Fans are losing their shit. Everybody's on their feet after it looked like he shouldn't. This is one of those where, you really got to. I do wonder. I think Conrad asked the right question here of like, what is the line like of, you know, where with wrestling, like, what do we say is okay and not like, and they've said like live death match. Like, I think he said he'd never go to another live show. And here we go. Oh, and the cage breaking way and Foley. And there it is, the zip laying amongst the zip ties.
I don't know why they thought, hey, we'll zip tie these cages. Like how was that what they did to reinforce these things?
And immediately you've got about 10 people surrounding Foley. A incredible shot.
This bump was worse.
Yeah. And that's what they said. This knocked him out clean. He is out. There is like the other one he was around for, but this one, he is absolutely knocked out. Like teeth gone. The lights aren't on and nobody's home at this point. So Undertaker dropping down. You got Terry Funk trying to stop the Undertaker. And I believe it Mankind has said, or Mick Foley, that when he attacked Terry Funk, there was actually a line exchanged where he asked Terry Funk, is he alive? And so checking on to see what the deal was. I'm not sure if it's where I'm not sure exactly where he asked them. It could be he's kind of tossed him out of the ring right now.
Shoes fell off.
Yeah. His shoes off. Yeah.
Look at this.
Here we go.
I mean, that's brutal. And like lands on like the back of his neck. I mean, he's out cold. Like, what did they think was going to happen there?
Yeah. It's definitely not a work shoot. And so you got a Mankind now is managing. He's on his feet. We know at this point though, one punch just dropped
him. Oh yeah.
But the guys are still fighting. We still got a match taking place. Which just feels insane kind of watching this. It's still going on. You got Funk's hat and shoes are in the ring. You've got the remains of the zip ties all over the ring. There's a chair. I don't even know where the chair came from. I think it was up on top where Foley started up.
It was. Yes.
Boy, you can tell Foley just standing there. He is not home. I'm gonna walk the ropes with Taker now. So you just took two of the largest bumps ever.
And now he's on the offensive.
And now
we're locking up the cage.
We're going for it. Yeah.
Commissioner Slaughter overseeing everything.
Oh, and there's the iconic with the bleeding mouth, tooth in his nose. That shot again, just so many iconic shots with this one. And you got to wonder too, in the moment, like, I really wonder at what point it crossed Vince's mind. Like, this is going to be one of the greatest moments in wrestling ever. Like, obviously he was ringside when, you know, for the first, he's probably still hanging around there. They're not showing him though, but like, you know, at what point do you realize, oh my God, this is happening?
I just don't think they knew what this was going to turn into. Yeah. You know, I don't think they said, oh, this is going to be, you know, one of the most, you know, iconic, famous things of all time. I just don't think they knew it.
They didn't set out for that. Like I said, in the build here, like it had a bunch of matches.
And remember, this match could have been over early on. God,
it should have been. Yeah. It's a fully take. And now they're kind of walking around the outside. The cage is on the ground, but walking around, kind of hitting him with the steps. Foley's still just kind of bleeding.
I mean, what's going through Taker's mind right now? Like, what?
You know, and I just had that thought when he's looking down at the guy, like, yeah, it's one of those, like, you know, it's that oh shit moment of like,
did I kill this son of a bitch?
Right. Yeah. And you feel like at this point, Foley might be waking up a little bit. Like, you know, he said, you know, he doesn't remember. Oh, he has to go back and kind of watch it. But like, and you got to believe too, like, Taker. In his mind, like he's, you know, well, if they got to have a match. Like you figure he's protecting him too. Like they had that, oh, Taker diving and missing Mankind. Like he knows that, you know, and that's what they always say. Like you will have the other wrestler's hand, like life in your hands, like keeping him safe, protecting him. Like, you know, that's, you know, one of the biggest things that you have to make sure. And you have to have that trust with these guys. I would have to believe that like at some point, yeah, like they just, they had that, like that trust with each other to be like, we're going to keep doing this. Like,
yep.
I can't imagine, you know, there's probably not a whole lot of wrestlers that would have that connection with some people, but these guys, like, you know, just crazy. And so, and Mankind again, on the offensive here, scraping Taker's face against the chain link fence. Ah, just crazy.
Taker bleeding. I believe so.
Yep, there it is. We got their first blood on this one. Well, second, first blood of the Undertaker. We definitely have blood in that happening. So Taker trying to crawl back into the ring. And again, you know, Foley's
it's amazing. He's moving around, right?
Well, and you can tell it like his shoulder dislocated. Like, and so here goes Foley trying to
get. I always love how he does the pile driver where he just grabs it. Kind of a sloppy pile driver that Foley does.
Onto the chair, and then we get one, two. Can
you imagine if that was it?
Oh my God. Yeah, to not win. Oh my God. Yeah. After all that. So you obviously you were there. We're not listening to the sound right now. Do you remember? Like what was
eerily quiet. People were in shock. And I think part of it, Jeff, is think about this. This is 1998. It's not like when that happened, it's not like when that happened, I was holding my cell phone. Okay. So no one in attendance has footage of it. Okay.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, you know, there you go on Twitter and everyone has their views of Foley getting thrown off and it was crazy and wow and this and that. None of that existed. Okay. So that's number one. Number two is think about when it happens. We had never seen anything like this before. Mm-hmm. Okay. If it happened now, if Kevin Owens got thrown off a cage now, Chris Jericho gets thrown off a cage, you've seen it before. You know, when guys are on top of the cage, you're like, ah, someone might get thrown off. We had never seen anything like this before. You know, Sean fell off the side of the cage, but he was halfway down. Like no one, this had never happened. So the shock of it. And then the third thing is it's eerily quiet because you're so shocked and you have nowhere to voice that. Okay. So if this happened now, what would you do? You'd be on Twitter. I'd text you. Oh my God. Can you believe that? Oh my, you didn't have a phone. So you just sat there watching it, fully engaged to what was going on in front of you. Maybe you were with your dad or your uncle or your brother or whoever, but for the most part, you're just sitting there watching this in shock.
Yeah.
That's what was so crazy about this is it had never happened. And you know, you didn't have a cell phone in your hand. Uh-oh.
So we got thumbtacks now in the ring. And trying to both guys, Taker teetering over them, but Undertaker fighting back. And here we go, Foley. God. So you just again, I'm going to take two of the largest bumps unplanned in wrestling history, and then a thumbtack spot's coming up here. So he's got the mandible claw actually locked in on Taker, taking him down almost to a knee, not quite. Yeah, there it is.
Who do you think has a better mandible claw, Bray Wyatt or Mick Foley?
Get out of here. Okay. Fuck you. Like, we know who does. Like, even without the sock, we know who does. It's Agreed. A cool finisher, but we know who's got it. Well, and part of that might be maybe if they knew how to give Bray a finisher and book him, then maybe I would appreciate it more. We don't see this enough right now. I wish they'd bring this back. So we've got checking the arm. So one, two, and then again, going to check the arm of Taker. Is it going to drop the third time? No. They don't ever check the arm anymore. I would like to add that. Okay, so now we've got Mankind on Taker's back. He's walking him over backwards to the tacks. And, oh, you just see Mick looking too. He just knows. And kind of missing the tacks, not fully there, but then he rolls into them. Oh, God.
And he dropped them hard too.
Yes. And oh, my. And there it is. Tacks all over his back. It's got to suck too, because like him wearing a shirt too, I almost think would be worse because he hits it and then the shirt immediately pulls them out. And so here comes the choke slam, Taker positioning him right over them. And oh, that was right into the middle of the thumbtack.
I mean, he's just thinking, right? Like at this point, what I might as well just drop this son of a bitch right on the tacks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's only so much I can do. Now, luckily here, yeah, you got Taker with some in his arm too, managing to do that. Yeah. And so here we go, going for the tombstone, facing the hard cam. Did you see all the tacks that fell out of his back when he did it? Oh my gosh. One, Boom. Two, three. Thank God. Everybody on their feet. So after the initial really like
place just going
5 minutes, they have another like 15 minute match of just absolutely beating the holy shit out of each other. Both guys spent. Yikes.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Yep.
Like, you know what's going to happen and it's still like, holy shit.
Yeah. And they're checking on him again now.
All right. Well, let's jump right into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Well,
just it doesn't matter how many times you see the, it's different. Like you said, I'll get it out. The clip, watching the clip of it is one thing, but sitting here and watching the whole match again, it's just different. Like, you forget how early the spot happened. You forget that they have a whole match, like a whole 10 minute match after this happens. Like, you know, they're cleaning up the carnage at this point. Taker's still like, he's climbing out of the ring at this point, but like the paramedics are like, they can't even get into the ring because there's thumbtacks in their way. Like, and Foley's still laying in them. They're checking on him. Like, you know, it's incredible. It really is. Like, I just, wow. What about you, man?
Just incredible. And it still holds up. I mean, I know that sounds stupid to even say, but it's like, it's still incredible. It's not like, oh, well, now that we've seen more of these spots and now that we've seen all this stuff, I mean, it still fucking holds up all these years later.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Wow. Just crazy.
Whew. So. All right. So
what do we got here? So, really no other way to cut it. So the quote here that I kind of pulled from one of the, like, Foley received numerous injuries and took two dangerous and highly influential bumps. The first being tossed off the top of the 16-foot high cell by the Undertaker, crashing through the wooden Spanish announcer's table and landing on the arena's concrete floor. Barely 5 minutes after the first bump, Foley with a separated shoulder climbed back up to the top of the cell after Terry Funk and others tried to stop him. And the second bump, which was an unplanned botch, the Undertaker choke slammed Foley and the fence panel Foley landed on broke and gave way, and Foley then plunged 13 feet through the cell and landed on the ring mat. Mankind lost the match to conclude their storyline. I that's one way to describe it, I guess. Like, you went on actually, like, Undertaker and Stone Cold actually beating Kane and Mankind to win the World Tag Team Championships. It was short reign because then Kane and Mankind won it back. It's, you know, and now this was, again, fully loaded in your house, which where they won was July 26th. And then this pay-per-view King of the Ring was June 20th. So literally less than a month later, like he's back in wrestling again. like that's like, you know, Torrey ACLs or whatever, you're out, you know, 6 to 8 months. Dude just took, you know, he dropped over 30 feet in the span of 20 minutes and he's wrestling again a few weeks later. So
yeah, just, I wish they would have sold this longer.
Yeah, just crazy though.
Like can you imagine if they would have just held him out for like 6 months and Vince was like, hey, feel better. I'm still going to pay you as if you're working. And when you come back in 6 months, you're going to be this just massive, massive baby face.
Yeah, just crazy. And so Taker going on, though, to kind of take on Austin at SummerSlam, him and Kane kind of working together on that one. And then even though Austin ended up losing that one, The Undertaker losing that one, kind of respect, kind of handing the belt and stuff to him and things like that. And so Undertaker, though, again, really working with Kane at this point, after I said like previous to this, the storyline of them kind of, you know, dealing with each other. There was, had a match with Austin as well, too. But then also you had it really this culminating with eventually Undertaker putting together the Ministry of Darkness, reteaming with Paul Bearer as well, too. Admitting too that he was the one that set the fire that killed his parents, which he had previously blamed on Kane. Just a sidebar now, this is funny. I still have the match. I don't know if you do, but Lawler is like showing a handful of the tacks that like he felt like Mankind would have fallen on, which I think is just kind of crazy. He's looking back at the fans, even like, what the fuck did we just see? And so, yeah, now you've got a promo for the next one. So anyway, the Ministry of Darkness, that was kind of the Undertaker. And so, but like I said, Mankind actually had a team with Kane for a little bit. He actually started transitioning the Mankind character at this point to more of the kind of neurotic kind of, you know, crazy character into the more comedic kind of goofy character. This is where we had the introduction.
There's nowhere else to go after this, right?
Right. Exactly. And so this was the introduction. Yeah. Where do you go? Like, what do you do? Like, how do you reinvent yourself after that? Like, but showing up actually, this is with Mr. Sacco. This is the suggestion of Al Snow, putting Mr. Sacco on when he does his mandible claw. Of course, commentary selling, and I remember this vividly, like saying, like, you know, a smelly sock, he'd wear it, he always pull it out of his crotch, you know, another one, which, you know, a making sure, especially like, you know, a good time to remind you guys, 20% off using code payoff at manscaped.com, but pulling the sock from his, you know, his belt. Or, you know, is kind of belt line kind of doing that. And actually this was too, and I would have thought by this point we would have had I've forgotten. This is when they introduced the Hardcore Championship, was actually after like this time period. It was that later at the end of 2016, actually. And so, you know, kind of having that out there as well too. So him getting that, but then you also have him getting into the Rock and Sock connection as well too. And then really for him. And so, you know, this was June, 1998, it was really the end of 98, the first kind of show of 99 for Mankind. This is actually where he then got the infamous, you know, him beating the Rock on a pre-taped show and WCW thinking it was the good idea to kind of Tony Schiavone.
That'll
put butts in the seats. Yeah. And so, and that, you know, backfiring where everybody changed the channel. And so, you know, Bischoff is, a lot of them have talked about it before where they could literally see the connection between when, like, they said that and everybody changing the channel. And so Foley still had a lot to do over the next 6 months, which is crazy to think that, like, it goes from this to 6 months later, which you figure a lot of wrestlers would have been out that entire time, that he wins the championship that night. Like, just absolutely crazy. And so, you know, it just crazy how it all played out, just kind of what happened here. But yeah, so... All right. Thoughts on that, Tom, before we get into the reviews?
Nothing, man. I'm exhausted from watching that.
Yeah, this is one of the, so I got a lot here. So
yes.
PWI, Undertaker was number 5. Mick Foley was number 26. This is totally understandable. This was the match of the year. Now, Foley has said, I've got a quote from him here, and of course you can read his books, kind of check out, there's multiple things that he said, but one I kind of pulled here was that, that He said, had this match taken place today, WWE would have immediately stopped the match after the first fall from the top of the cage, and rightfully so. In his autobiography, Foley wrote that he could not remember much of what happened, and he had to watch tape of the match to write about it. In 2020, Foley said he still suffers with injuries sustained in the match, particularly having to have false teeth replaced, and also suffers from chronic pain. So you've got that. Now, what were the write-ups on this one? And this was, again, I tried to find kind of, like you said at the top of the show, like this in the media, like what was the immediate reaction here? And so Wade Keller wrote in the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter that Foley had taken the, quote, two most incredible bumps, end quote, in wrestling history, and that it had been the decade's most memorable match. He predicted that the match would become, quote, a source of inspiration and jealousy, end quote, for other wrestlers, but it had the potential to become an infamous and regretful match. Now, Meltzer rewarded this one 4.5 stars, said he would never forget the performance of Foley. Meltzer said Foley had made himself an all-time legend and would forever be associated with Hell in a Cell in the same way Bret Hart would always be linked with the Montreal Screwjob.
That's kind of an odd parallel, but okay.
Yep. But question the future of wrestling if people tried to emulate or one-up the performance of Foley.
Do you think as we sit here all these years later, do you think people have tried to one up it?
Yeah, I do. I think that, like, I mean, we know, like, Shane McMahon's known for it. I think that, well, let me read the rest and then we'll,
go ahead, break it down.
So Slam Wrestling at the time described Foley's performance in the match is, quote, unparalleled and memorable, and the match as a whole, a classic. 411 Mania, they gave this one 4.25 stars, describing it as, quote, the epitome of a spectacle. And then this was at the time, actually kind of a follow-up review. They said, it was criticizing the lack of wrestling involved as well as the bumps themselves, and awarded the match 1 star, but also said it as a match worth reviewing to make your own judgment.
Wow.
And then it was the 20th anniversary of the match. Post Wrestling said, it's hard to isolate one specific aspect of the match, and said it turned Foley from a cult favorite to a legend. So I thought it was, we can break it down for a little bit here before we get into scores. Like, I thought it was a lot of good points are raised here. We obviously have the ability of hindsight, you know, over 20 years later to, you know, to almost 25 years later to talk about this one. I think they all raised some interesting points, and some of them have their kind of their finger on the pulse here of, like, Foley even said himself that it was, you know, should have been stopped. Like, you know, to the Wade's point about, like, infamous and regretful. I don't agree with the wrestling, because, to be honest, like, yeah, it was, you're shell shocked because you got these two massive bumps and then they have a match. And so this, yes, I also would not expect, like, you know, our previous, like, last week's match, like Brett and Mr. Perfect, like, I'm not looking for a, you know, mat wrestling between Mick Foley and the Undertaker.
Yeah.
And so to say, oh, it, you know, lacked wrestling, it's like, this was, it was wrestling. I don't, like, you know, how do you describe it any differently? It's just how it is. And so I think that's a little BS. This is one, I think, yeah, it depends on who you are. And this goes back to, like, you know, how do people feel about deathmatch or, like, just seeing these types of things? Is you're going to get varying mileage based on who you talk to on this. Cause there's some people, like, yeah, they're going to want to turn it off after the first bump, but, like, I don't draw the line at what happened either. And so, yeah, I think I think the one that stuck out to me and why it was included is it's hard to isolate one aspect of the match or one specific aspect of the match, because, yeah, you've got 5 different things that happened that you could put, for me, like, 5 different things, you know, plus, you know, more for whoever you're talking to, that happened that you could say, like, oh shit, like, you know, you had the spot, you had the, you know, through the cage, you had the thumbtacks, you had the Taker blood, like, you had all these things. And so, like, is it crazy to, you know, it's not crazy for me to say, hey, yes, the Attitude Era and kind of what happened at that point, like seeing what happened. Yeah. Like it definitely had guys trying to, I say, not necessarily copy that specifically, but in some ways you did. And so for better or worse, that's wrestling. That's just how it was. Go ahead.
Off score.
Oh, I spent a lot of time thinking about this. Actually, I'm going to be interested. You're near where I am.
Okay. You going first? You am I?
I'll go first because I'll go first on this one. And so I've been working on the notes for this one, and I was reading a lot on this one, which there was a lot like Dark Side of the Ring. I left a lot out. But because you kind of have to sometimes. But this was one, and I think just the overall, like what it did for wrestling, and not just like Mick Foley, but just kind of how it, how it played out and kind of what happened. Like I'm actually giving this one a 9.5. And so, because you can't not talk about it. You can't not you figure like it's the, like I said it, I know in the tweet for this show, like, I use the image of him kind of getting tossed off the cage. And it's one of those like images you can hear. Like this is one of those images that you can hear with the JR call. And it's just one of those that forever, like, it's one of those like top three images that's forever ingrained in your mind of what wrestling is him flying off the cage. I think of like Stone Cold and the Crimson Mask. Like, nothing else even kind of jumps into my, I think like Michael ziplining in is another big one for me. But to think of those things I have to rank it that high because what it did for wrestling as a whole, just incredible. It really is. So what's your overall thoughts, your score? Give it to me.
I actually think this is easy.
Okay. You going perfect?
It's a 10.
Okay.
This is as good as it gets, man. What am I going to, are there things that could be better? Yeah, it could have been at WrestleMania for the championship. I don't know. This is just incredible. It's iconic. We're still talking about it. It's the commentary and how shocked it was. And, it was absolutely incredible. And look, both people knew what they were signing up for. Everyone knew what was happening. The botch through the cage shouldn't have been a surprise because, it's pretty obvious that someone was going to fall through it if they got slammed on it when they were stepping through it already. So, dude, I loved it. It was perfect. I don't want to see it ever again, but
yeah,
you just love it, man. It's like watching some of those old helmet to helmet football hits. You can watch them and be like, wow, that was ridiculous and crazy and awesome to watch, but I don't want to see it anymore. I feel the same way about those chair shots.
Well, and I think, you raised the point during the match. What did you expect?
Yeah.
Like when you're on top of the cage and you throw the guy like through it, like, what else is going to happen? Like, I think that this is one. Let us know, everybody else. Let us know your scores. Let us know what you think about this one. Happy anniversary to this match too. Like you said, it's just one of those, it's hard to believe it has held up the way it has. And it has, it really took Foley to a whole nother level. And so, this is the match they will forever be associated with, no matter what happened with Taker's retirement and Foley, all this other, whatever might've happened. This is the match that people will always point to for who is the Undertaker and Mankind for me. So, yep.
Whew.
Send him home happy.
Yeah. Well, you guys, hope you enjoyed this as much as we did. It was awesome. It was a blast. It was fun to watch it. Go back and watch the entire match if you haven't in a while. And as always, thank you for listening, for supporting the show, for tweeting, for retweeting, for subscribing, for giving us 5 stars, for going to Manscaped and using code PAYOFF for 20% off and free shipping, for everything. We greatly appreciate it.
2 weeks until 100. That's right. 2 weeks
until episode number 100. So we look forward to it. We've got some killer shows coming up. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.